Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Football season is upon us.
That is true.
It is.
Do you guys play fantasy football?
I don't. It's too stressful. Okay. It's too stressful, bro.
As you're right, James definitely doesn't.
I don't at all. I wouldn't know anything. No, I don't. I don't. But for the purposes of our ads, oh, I do watch football, and I do pick various players.
Yeah, we
from
do
time
some
to time.
Some prize and picks.
And I, you know, just from time to time. Just from time to time, I'll do it. You know, but I don't do it on a consistent. You know, on a consistent.
Yeah. I do. I've won my fantasy league 2 out of the 4 years it's been running.
That's actually really good.
Oh yeah, I guess
that's so. Really good.
Oh yeah, I guess that
come
is pretty
on,
good.
Bro. Come on, bro.
That's yeah, I'm about to say, bro. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I feel good. This year has been interesting. The thing that's so always hard about fantasy football is, you know, you have to try to keep up with the different players, players that are you have to kind of try to take into account who's going to get too old and they're going to start falling off a cliff production-wise. Yeah.
They fall off a cliff. Is that like a meaning like they're not just not doing as well as they
their
used to
stats
do?
Just whoop, it's just like, whoa, man, like they were up okay. here and now they're all the way down here, you know?
I think it's when you said cliff, I thought it was supposed to like mean something else.
I'm yes.
like the player fall off a cliff and I didn't
no,
know.
No, not literal, not a literal cliff.
Oh, I was like, is this such a phrase?
No, like they're like how good they are just drops like a precipitous drop, essentially, okay. You know, you don't expect it because you're like, they were so good last year. They were just this good last year. And then all of a sudden, like they're not that good anymore. And the hope of them being good, you know, I don't know. It's just now they're the long shots. You know what I mean? Like
wow.
They used to be a surefire bet, but instead of that, now they're the long shots.
See, the movie is the long shots, which is tough. It's tough.
Right, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Wait, it's what movie? Oh, right.
Wait, what do you?
Yeah, that is what you said. You were like, now they're.
What are you doing? Are you trying to pretend?
Right, because
like
I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a specific player. Obviously, I was in general talking about several of these veteran players who used to be, you know. The man, they used to be like, boom, they are the kings, and now they're the long shots. And if you don't know, a long shot is somebody.
Can you start the show?
Oh, right. Okay, sure. Yeah, let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan. Dylan, what more can I say? You know what it is?
Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Since your name is Plumber, we thought that you could get this.
Oh, that was a good quote.
What happened?
Yep. Since your name was Plumber, we thought you could schlurschnurschnursch.
That's what they said.
It's my name. Thank you.
You know what? I'll take it. I'll take it.
Look, I don't even know.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, I just want you to know.
What? Okay. Oh, since y'all know better lines, what line would y'all do? What line would y'all do?
That's why I said. That's why I said I'll take it.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't. I mean, the only other, the only other line I know is, you know the former Ruski.
Hit Beyonce. Okay, now Tyra.
Beyonce. Beyonce. Throw it to Beyonce.
Yeah, I almost said Beyonce. I almost screamed.
He did say
Beyonce.
That was maybe seven times.
That was my backup. Yeah. But the Fumble Rooski is good. I like the Fumble Rooski. That one's good.
For those of you who don't know, this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. All three of us happen to be comedian, actors, writers. We're working in this industry. We've been doing this podcast for a decade now.
A true decade. Why you gotta say that?
Oh,
why
because it's true. And I think I want them to know. I want the public to know. And by public, I mean the 302 people listening to us. That's right. I didn't sell us short. I mentioned all 300. All 300.
That's not selling us short. Okay.
All 302. 302.
And we love y'all for that. Now, you may
it
not.
It takes 302.
You may not love us for the movie we decided to choose today. But before we get into that, the voice you're listening to right now, because there are three distinct voices on this podcast.
He's a mess, yo.
The one that you're listening to right now that sounds like somebody who studies the game of professional football and understands the ins and outs of the NFL roster so much so.
Throw to Beyonce.
That sounds like Brad can achieve.
Tyra, hit Tyra.
The fantasy football trophy once more. I'm putting it out there for myself. That is Jonathan Braylock.
Honestly, I want you to win again. So I'm not even going to hit. This voice is at a drop. Milligan, not even going to hit. Makes sense.
And this voice is James the Third.
And we are reviewing the movie The Long Shots. You may not know it, but it came out. It stars Ice Cube and a young Keke Palmer.
2008.
It is what we would maybe describe as a kids movie, inspired by a true story, directed by the one and only Fred Durst. And I know you might be thinking, I'm sorry, I thought you said Fred Durst directed it. I did.
You mean from, I did it all for the nookie. What? The nookie. What?
Limp Bizkit.
Look at this cookie and stick it up here. Yeah. And stick it up here. Yeah. That's what you mean?
The very same.
No, that's so random. Oh my God, it is Fred Durst. That's so random.
There's just no way. And I'm gonna refuse to believe it, and I'm gonna also not.
Some people might go, well, you know, I didn't realize that, John, but now that I just looked up his IMDb, he has 46 directing credits. And then I'll ask you how many of those directing credits are music videos, specifically Limp Bizkit music videos. And you'll say, okay, I take back what I said. And I'll say thank you.
You did it for the hell. You did it for... That's crazy.
Apparently, he directed something called The Education of Charlie Banks before this.
Oh.
Do you know that?
Yeah, but that's a...
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg. I mean, Jesse Eisenberg is in it.
The Education of Charlie Banks.
I've never seen it, but Jesse Eisenberg is in it, and so is Jason Ritter.
Right, 2007. Yes.
You
the
saw
education
that?
Education of Charlie Banks. Fred Durst has just been out here directing films? No, of course I didn't see. Of course I didn't see the Education of Charlie Banks.
You sound real familiar, James. Like you didn't peep this before.
He directed that one, The Long Shots.
And then in 2019, apparently
he directed a movie called The Fanatic.
I've actually heard of The Fanatic though.
Okay, yeah, it stars John Travolta.
Yeah, I've heard of The Fanatic.
Yeah,
wow,
but
that's
crazy. 2019, so.
See?
Well, I don't know why you say C. That's three movies. But okay, The Long Shot.
No, I mean, that's three. Okay. You know how many movies I've directed? I haven't directed any movies, and I'm at least on a path that could have more seamlessly led to directing three feature films.
He directed than a lot
Fred Durst
of music videos. He directed a lot of music videos.
That's the best way to get in.
Okay, he directed his music videos. Okay. That was the thing I didn't realize. I didn't hear you say that part. Okay, then now I'm less surprised.
The Long Shot is inspired by the true story of the real what's this character's
have it up. Her
name?
Character's name is Jasmine Plummer.
Okay. Who was the first woman to play in very specifically Pop Warner tournament.
Junior Pee Wee Division.
Okay. And this is just based off of her story, or does she also write like a book, or was there an article or something that this
She became a national sensation in 2003 as the first girl to play quarterback in Pop Warner in the Pop Warner Super Bowl. She was part of the Harvey Colts from Harvey, Michigan suburb. Did they I wonder what happened to her in real life. I mean, after as an adult.
She didn't get to play professional football, I can tell you that.
Listen, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I was so nervous. We get there.
All right. Well, it's So, yeah, this movie, it's okay. This movie, it made $11 million at the box office. It did cost $23
million. Oh, it did?
Yeah, I don't know why.
How much must Ice Cube take up for this? Because I'm like, 20, bro, freaking, and this was in 08?
This is according to IMDb. I mean, this is according to Wikipedia. Yeah, I don't quite understand how it costs that much money, but that's what the numbers say. The movie has a 41% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 61% popcorn meter. That's technically fresh.
Some fresh popcorn, okay.
And that's it's about it's about an uncle and his niece who they begin to bond over football, and she winds up becoming the quarterback of her school's team, and he winds up coaching them, and they go and make it all the way to the to their Super Bowl. And they're the long shots, guys. They're the long shots. So,
yep.
All right. So, yeah, this is a classic, you know, classic story, classic kid.
All right.
It is very classic.
Kids, you know, sports, underdog story structure.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. This week, my projections are Saquon Barkley more or less than 1 rushing TDs and Josh Allen more or less than 270 pass yards. Download the app today and use code HOLLYWOOD to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code HOLLYWOOD to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's get into initial thoughts, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can go. I thought this movie was very cute. I thought it was cute. It was very paint by the numbers, but in a, hey man, if I was a kid and watched this, I'm pretty sure I'd have been entertained. Yeah, I think it was a very serviceable film. I do think it's weird. Two things is that this movie is about Jasmine, but low-key is through the eyes of her uncle, which makes me think back to a movie about Serena and Venus Williams, the two most famous tennis players in the world, but the movie's about their dad. So the fact that this woman is like the first girl to ever play in this Pop Warner Football League, but we focus so much on the uncle, I'm like, that's very weird. Also, even the fact that her big thing was that she wanted to be a model, and all of a sudden the movie dropped completely her ambitions just to do this football thing, which I'm like, oh, I guess she could have done both, and that would have been fine. Oh, and then the last thing is that I always laughed because everyone kept making fun of her for reading. Like, the kids at school made fun of her for reading, her mom made fun of her for reading, her uncle made fun of her. And also I was like, Also, the way also at one point Ice Cube goes, all she want to do is just read. And I was like, why is that the thing y'all keep making fun of this girl for doing? Like, she's not even being weird. She just like reads random ass books. Not even like dark books. Not like always fantasy books. She's be reading various ass books. I don't know. But also, Kiki Palmer's great. It was just so funny. Also, Ice Cube is playing the same part in this that he played in Water Worlds. Bray, you tell me right now if some of his line really, if you don't, Bray, if you close his eyes, if you close your eyes, it sounds like he's talking to the same character. What you do? Come on, like it's insane. It's like sure. Anyway, no, yeah. But yeah, yeah, sorry. Anyway,
we know what he do.
But anyway, it was fun.
Yeah. Look. Obviously, this film was it's made for kids and families to go see. Now, I enjoyed a lot of these kinds of movies growing up. Mighty Ducks, obviously, spanned a pretty successful franchise. You had the Little Giants, the Big Green, I believe it was called.
Oh, the Big Green!
Yeah. Yeah. And then there were some other ones when we got a little older.
It was about soccer.
They remade the Bad News Bears with what's his face? And
ooh, Little Giants?
Yeah, I said Little Giants.
Oh, you did say that, my fault.
Yeah. Hard Knocks.
Or Hard Boiled.
Or Hard Ball,
you, you
I mean.
You mean Hard Ball? Is that the one with...
Hard Ball, which...
that's when Michael B. got killed.
Keanu Reeves. Mm-hmm. That was a little more serious.
Yeah.
Yo, Michael B. stay getting murked.
Oh, Michael B.'s the one that dies in that?
I think he is, right?
I never saw it, but when I found out one of the kids died, I was like, I can't watch this. I was like, one of the kids dies? what movie is this? Why am I watching? So I didn't watch it.
No, it was the little one who got, sorry.
So I do know that I like those movies. I felt like this one, it was lacking something. It was lacking a lot of things, maybe. But it felt like, it was a little paint by the numbers. It was a little dreary, right? Just like the coloring, I don't even know what it was, Gerard. Maybe you know the technical.
Oh, you mean this? I mean, it was saturated. It looked cheap.
It was blown out, or I don't know. Just like the everything about, like there was something about it that just didn't seem right. And then,
well, the color palette was so bland.
It made it boring and depressing.
Yeah, it was very. Which I guess the town was supposed to be broken out of money.
Yeah, I guess so. And it was interesting. It was just kind of one of those things where I couldn't. I don't know. It didn't feel that exciting.
Yeah.
I feel like the ways in which they were trying to get Kiki's character to seem like this is something that would really ignite her, it didn't quite click for me. I mean, once we started to get rolling, it picked up a bit, but yeah, I don't know. It wasn't as inspiring as I feel like maybe this real life story could have been. I feel like, just she kind of like stumbled into it and like,
yeah.
It didn't feel like there were that many hardships, even though I'm sure there were. And then I don't know. But, hopefully there were kids and little girls who watched this and got inspired and all that jazz. I didn't mean to bring everybody down, but.
No, I mean, listen, the movie is what it is.
It is what it is. I mean, I thought it was fine. I equally like wasn't, like a lot of times with these sports movies, there's that feeling of like hope or like joy that kind of comes with it. And like, yeah, like this one was pretty. It was pretty bleak. Like everybody was against her and everybody was against Ice Cube. Like it didn't seem like there was really anybody that wanted either of them to succeed,
Which is crazy.
And if and when they did, it was for the selfish reason of like, well, if they win, I win too, but not in that way of like, we should all win together. It was like, if they win, then I win. selfishly. And so I don't know. I mean, and maybe that's what the experience of like being the first girl to play on a team like that is, but to all the points that have been made already, like if we would have focused a little bit more on Kiki and like the kinds of relationships she was trying to develop and like what this journey would really mean for specifically her, I just think that there's probably a better story there. Yeah, but I mean, you know, excited to talk about it beat by beat, because there's, you know, okay. I thought Kiki was great, and where do I know my man's from? Where do I know the assistant coach from? I was looking at his IMDb and he's in everything, but it was like, I know him from something very recently and I can't.
Interesting. Let me look up right now.
What's his name?
I can't tell what it is. His name is Dash.
I'm looking up the cast. Dash.
Or Dashiell.
Mahulk?
Dash?
Yeah.
You know this guy?
It says Dash Mahulk. What has he been in?
I have no idea. I mean, he's been in stuff, but nothing that jumps
he's
out
the,
at me.
Like, he's the main vampire in I Am Legend, but I was like, that can't be it. And he's been Volio.
Wait,
in,
what do you mean the main?
That can't be it. How would you possibly have like noticed?
Wait,
that?
You mean the one that doesn't
but
talk?
But he is that. The one that the
I
main
know,
one.
But
you know,
that can't be what you recognize.
But
him
he's
from.
Also in Romeo and he's also in the Romeo and the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet. But I haven't seen that in 30 years.
He is in Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, okay, wait. Now I actually do know him from this, The Day After Tomorrow. He's the guy who helps Dennis Quaid.
Oof.
He's like the guy, and then like he sacrifices himself at some point in The Day After Tomorrow.
I don't remember this movie at all.
I wonder if it's that.
You never saw The Day After Tomorrow, Jarrah?
I couldn't tell you. Bro, I did not know Jake Gyllenhaal was in this.
Wait, what?
Bro,
Yo, it was Roland Emmerich.
You remember
it was the next thing after Independence Day, or maybe he did a couple other things before then. But it was like
I really don't remember this one.
Independence Day.
Yeah, he did. I thought Godzilla was after Independence Day, but
oh yeah, Godzilla. Oh yeah, definitely predates this. But still,
it was huge. I think it made like $70 million opening weekend. Like it was a big time. That movie was big, bro. Day After Tomorrow.
Is this, wait.
That was with a big title. No. 2012 was basically a ripoff of, I mean, even though it was Roland Emmerich, but he basically made the same movie, but with the Mayan thing. But yeah, but The Day After Tomorrow was with like the global warming stuff. And then remember there was a huge tidal wave that like took out New York.
Yeah.
I thought that was 2012. I'm watching the trailer right now.
You should watch it.
I can't think of what it
you
is.
You should watch it. It's just fun.
Through osmosis, he's in everything. I know him from everything.
How were the effects? And what year is this movie? 2013.
They're really good, right?
Better than...
They actually explained about stuff. But yes.
Oh, did they? Because I'm like, this is
people
insanity.
People have explained why. Yeah.
Is it the time that they had to get this done or something?
A lot of it is like lighting and...
Because this is crazy.
Yeah,
so
to me, a lot of it is like lighting, the amount of time you spend in the on the shot,
correct.
how much is a mix of how much do you see people and the effect together. You know, it's like it's all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this a lot because of Jurassic Park, and it's Jurassic
true.
Park's been getting progressively worse. Anyway,
yeah. Wow, this tidal wave is great. Okay. So the New York Post office is going to save you, buddy.
Well,
that's not even super high up.
No, I know it doesn't make any sense, but.
It's going to save you, but yet in the street in front of it, there's a boat.
Yeah,
there's a ship that makes it.
It doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of things that don't make sense in that movie, but anyway, it's fun.
Okay, sorry. I'm like, what, buddy?
Now, what were we talking about? Oh, the long shots.
Long shots. Yep.
Wait, no. Actually, let's start talking. Wait, no. Let's go back to The Day After Tomorrow. So.
RJ Smith, have I said this yet? That summer, so RJ Smith is in that. He played Alan Strange. He's on the Rookie.
What?
We look alike. Then, anyway, he was a black kid with glasses. We didn't
Day After Tomorrow.
For each other. In Day After Tomorrow.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that summer, okay, I go to work, and one of my employees is like, were you? Because they knew I was an actor. They're like, were you in a movie this summer? And I was like, oh no. And then they said what it was. I was like, oh, Day After Tomorrow. No, that's not me. And then they literally asked, are you sure?
They thought you were just being humble.
Are you sure?
They're like, you're lying.
Honestly, James, you used to have a Caesar haircut like this, James. Like
I did.
Younger, y'all would have Like, this is, I'm looking at him on Alan Strange.
You know, we were black and skinny.
yes. But also the head shape feels the same. I mean, he looks different now, but I'm looking at these younger photos and I'm like, okay.
No, yeah, we had to hook. We both had to hook back of the head. Hook. Yeah. We both had
to. Okay. I'm reading about the real life of Jasmine Plummer. And she started playing football when she was 8. So here's the thing.
Bray, there was no girl. No. Bray, no. First off, they were not about to get an 8-year-old black girl. Kiki Palmer was the closest we had in 2008.
I know, but...
But don't have it that... Don't introduce that, like, her uncle teaches her how to throw and all of this nonsense. That's
well,
not
no,
there.
Her uncle did help her. Her uncle really did coach her. So her uncle did help her learn how to play football on, like, a...
That's still real, but she was doing it longer.
But even, to me, the point is, like, because Gerard made this point about, oh, why did he... Like, she wanted to be a model or whatever. Like, they just made this character say that for no reason. That's not what the real person...
Oh.
And the other thing about that is, like, yeah, it completely changes the movie for the uncle to put the desire to want to play football into her as opposed to she wanted to play. And this is the thing that I kind of was like, it made this movie less of the inspirational feminist kind of film it could have been, because I feel like when you have these kinds of films of like a girl getting to play football, it's like all the guys, and they had a little bit of elements of this, of like guys being like, you know, like, no, we don't want her to play. But she wants to play because she wants to play, not because somebody was like, you should do this thing because you're good at it. And she's like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It changes everything. It changes everything.
I 100% agree. It makes no sense that, like, yeah, I agree. It's like, and I think that's the reason I may have wanted her to still like modeling. So she had a thing that she wanted to do. And I'm like, yeah, if she'd have been pushing for this versus her being pushed by the uncle, it would have been more cool if the uncle, and again, I don't know the real life, but it was like, are you sure? You sure you want to do this? Because this movie just feels like the uncle kind of uses her to like relive his glory days. Which I guess someone actually says in the movie too.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. She doesn't really have any agency in this movie. Because the uncle becomes the coach, develops the plays, does the speech. What does she do?
And she's a tomboy. Like, that's the other thing I hate about this. Like, Kiki's not really a tomboy in this. Like, they like, I don't know, actually. I felt like they didn't do much with her character, but it's just like, I don't know, like, be true to, like, the essence of who this girl was. Like, she liked playing, like, we all had, I mean, maybe not all of us, but I feel like a lot of people, there was usually in most schools and most, like, circles, you know, growing up, there's, like, the girl who loves to play sports. And, like, when she's young, she wants to play sports with the boys, you know, and, like, the older you get, the harder it is for people to let, like, allow that to happen or, like, boys get made fun of if they get beat by a girl or like, you know, like there's all those dynamics, but it's like you have that, the girl who likes to play sports, like her getting picked on in the beginning of this movie should be about the fact that she's a girl who likes to do sports and is getting made fun of for that, as opposed to just 100%. Randomly being picked on for no reason. Like she's picked on because her last name is Plummer. Like, I like, come on.
Yeah, that's weird.
It genuinely felt so deeply cruel in a way that I was like, kids are cruel, but what?
Like, again, I think what Bray is so crazy you're hitting on this is like, I'm thinking back to the movie. She had no agency at all. Like even when she's playing in that one dude, like hits her from the other team, is she the one who gets paid back or is it her teammate who does it?
Her teammate.
Cause I'm like, even then it wasn't like she did. Cause you know, there's that moment of like, oh, you're going to dive. Then I'm going to flip you over. You know, I've seen that in movies
100%.
All the time. And she doesn't even get to do that.
Okay. So look, I'm just reading the like ESPN wrote an article about this girl. Cause she was 11. Also, I think this movie has their ages maybe a little bit older than she was when, right? Like,
yeah.
Are they
I think they're not in high school.
They're supposed to be in middle school. Okay.
Yeah. I definitely don't think they're in high school. I don't think they're in high school.
They felt Man, I guess they were supposed to be in middle school. They just felt, I don't know why they felt older to me. But look, when she went to the movie, it says here, because it was only, the movie was made only 5 years after she like did the thing that the movie talked about. So she was still young. She was a teenager. And they have a quote here that says, she just says, I just want to get out of this dress. She says, tugging on her gowns. I have some jeans in the limo. Can't wait to get back there. Like, that's the type of girl she is, right? Like, the girl who hates to be in a dress. The girl who wants to play play sports. Apparently, she played linebacker at one point.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't just this, like...
That's insane, dog. She played linebacker?
Yes, because she was strong. She was, like, she was strong. And this was, again, before the boys were hitting puberty. And she probably did hit puberty. So it was like in that time where like a girl, like a really strong athletic girl can compete with boys, you know?
What's so frustrating about this is if anything, I felt so nervous every time she was a player. And I was like, because what I thought was, is that the big turn of the story was going to be like, maybe she gets hit. And then, like, maybe it's a little shaken and, like, you know, she has to overcome fear or something now. And now that I'm thinking about it, the middle of the movie isn't her. It's the coach getting sick. And then Ice Cube coming in. But, like, she doesn't – her character has no arc except for going – yeah, like, how does the movie end? Like, when it ends for her, she, like
– yeah.
Wait.
Wait, oh, my God. Okay, listen to this quote. Listen to this quote.
Oh, no.
Listen to this quote. She said, okay, her teammates were reluctant to embrace her. But when I started playing and we started winning, they liked me, she said. Soon after, they were playing basketball at the park in their free time. Cassandra, too, came around. At one of her first games, she hit one of the other boys. And I mean hit him. Broke his arm, actually. After that, I knew she could handle herself. That's what the mom was saying because she was so reluctant to have her play. And then it says,
oh boy.
Fred Johnson recalls she was just as good a linebacker as she was a QB. Jasmine, who was only 4'9" and 90 pounds at the time, laughs as she recalls one of her first games as a two-way player when she de-cleated several ball carriers. Then after
this is crazy.
After the final whistle, added insult to injury by removing her helmet and unleashing her locks. I still remember the other coach shouting at his players, wait, she's a girl? You guys got beat up by a girl? I thought that was funny. How is that not in the movie?
Dude.
Yeah. It's starting to sound like.
So good.
It's starting to sound like they were like, we need to make her docile and
this sounds so good.
Like, it sounds like that's how they developed the movie. They were like, we can't do this. Either this. No one's going to believe a girl did X, Y, and Z, or worse, I think. No one's going to connect with her if she's like this.
I mean, I don't understand.
Dude,
that.
She's so good.
And I'm so upset.
Yo, they gotta do a remake.
They gotta
good.
Really do this.
She's so good.
I just don't understand it because now that I'm reading this real thing, I literally was like, I guess like this is what happened. Like she was just like, she barely played and this and that. And then I'm just like, okay, wait, no, this was what really happened. It's so much more interesting. It's the thing that we want to see. Like,
yo,
it doesn't make any sense why you wouldn't show 100%. That.
Dude, this is crazy because she sounds great. Like, literally great. That's so...
Yeah, so in this movie, she doesn't care about football. Like, she doesn't talk about it. She doesn't talk about sports at all. She's just reading books. Again, what was the purpose of that? Why did they have her?
What's the point of doing
why did
it?
They have her just be somebody she was that the real person wasn't? Like, it's just like she's reading, she's a nerd who wants to be a model, which also doesn't make any sense. Like it is a weird thing. Like, I remember when she said she wanted to be a model. In the movie, I was like, that's not what she really wants. Like,
because she was watching Tyra Banks.
That's just what the character is. Like, she thinks that other people want her to say or something, which is a very normal thing for like a middle schooler to say, like, you know, to like say the thing that they think everybody else wants them to be. But like, it just made it seem like she was this outcast for just being like a quiet little nerd who didn't do anything. And then the other problem with this movie that was tough for me was like, because Keke Palmer is probably not a good football player, like
they could have trained her.
The initial like way like in which like Ice Cube like first like notices that she's like good, it felt so underwhelming. It just kind of felt like okay, like she just like throws the ball back, but he's not really that far away. And I guess it was a good spiral, which is hard to do, to be fair, but it was just kind of like he was just like, whoa, wait a minute, you know,
bruh.
And you're like, oh.
To even to that end though, hearing what kind of a player she was and seeing how that plays out in the movie, it's only passing. Like, it's only right. Like she can pass and she's, you know, she is, she's a smart quarterback. She, you know, she can understand a good play to execute.
Right.
Which isn't as interesting to watch as like someone who is also a dynamic runner and, you know, and can, and can tackle and can block and can whatever, you know, like that just is more exciting to see visually, and to remove that from the movie is
insane.
It's to the movie's detriment.
I don't even care about this movie. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't care about like the uncle dating. I was like, she was like, well, if I do this, you gotta make sure you gotta ask my teacher. I was like, you ain't even like this nigga. Like, not only that, but like, you haven't started liking him yet. Like, that's a disservice.
I def care significantly less. And like, and you know what though, too, to that point, like, yeah, she does like him less, but I think the movie is trying to tell us how much she likes him by, because by then she's requested the 11 jersey, right? Like, like by then, you know, she's already kind of showing this like connection deepening in the script,
right.
But it's not quite, you know, it's, we don't quite really see it playing out. I agree. I'm with Zara. I care about the movie significantly less now, knowing how different it is from Jasmine's actual life.
It's infuriating because I hate when a movie takes away things from a real story that are more interesting than what's in the movie itself. Like the movie itself wasn't good. And then learning about this, you're like, oh, it's actually really bad because there were things. Now I know why they made this movie, because the real story is interesting. They just decided to make a fictional version of it that is much less interesting. Like, it's so much more interesting to follow a little girl who is obsessed with sports. And then, look, you could, if you want the mentor aspect of Ice Cube, which is real, by the way, because the uncle was her coach. By the way, the uncle was always her coach. The uncle was her coach at first, and then somebody else became the coach. I think it's fine the other way they did it, because they wanted the uncle to have like a story too or whatever. But like, you can still have this guy, like this person be like, hey, you should play. Why don't you play? Like, she's playing, let's say she's playing backyard football, right? She's just playing with other boys, and he sees her like throw the ball at what, and he's like, why don't you play in the league? And she's like, because girls aren't allowed to play in the league. And he's like, and then he mentors her and gets her to feel comfortable so she can play in the league. And then she does well there. And then we, you know, we get all that stuff. Like, we could still have a similar story, but allow her to be the person who wants to do this. And he's coaching her to do it. And not just like, he just randomly is, he likes football, and so he forces her to throw a ball that she doesn't want to do, but then she just is randomly good at it. And then he's like, why don't you do this thing? And she's like, that you've never thought of. And she's like, I don't know, fine, I guess. You know, it's just like, it's just such a, it makes it so less, the stakes are so much lower because she doesn't care about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing is, like, she has no agency in any way, shape, or form throughout this whole movie. Like, and I guess, you know, this movie came out in 2008. Keke Palmer, I think, only had done The Kill and the Bee. And they were like, well, we got Ice Cube, so we got to make the movie about Ice Cube.
I still think you could have done that while making her a way more interesting character.
100%. 100%. I mean, dude, at one point, I remember questioning this movie is like, why doesn't Ice Cube shower? Like, he has a house. Like, the thing is, like, he has an apartment.
Okay, but they really made it seem like he was homeless.
But they
really did.
So, but this is my thing. Do y'all remember when we first see him, he's in his apartment.
I know, but then he's always like hanging out outside wearing the same clothes, apparently smells.
But my thing is, why? Like, why does he do it? See him, he is in the comfort of his home.
And even if that's true about her uncle, you know, like, yeah. Even if like, okay, that's a kernel of truth or something. Yeah. It's very strange how it's presented in the movie.
And then also, if you're going to make note of how much he stinks, when he finally changes his clothes and showers, shouldn't Kiki be like, hey, you showered today? I don't know.
Yeah, truly. I mean, truly.
She comments on how he stinks so often and that he wears the same clothes, and he shows up in a jersey, clearly showered and excited, and they're like, never address it. Oh no, this movie isn't good. Oh no.
The thing I keep thinking about is, we've probably seen other movies that are stronger examples of this, but in, like, do you remember when we watched Men of Honor and we learned that it's the Robert De Niro, Cuba Gooding Jr. movie, the Navy movie, but Robert De Niro's character is like an amalgamation of different white people that knew of. And it's just so infuriating to be like, for someone to think that we like need this other character to anchor us throughout versus like, let's follow the person who was actually on this journey, you know, from beginning to end and see how it evolves and how it changes throughout. I don't need, you know, in the case of Men of Honor, this white anchor character to show the resilience of good white people, or this adult, this uncle character. I just don't even need, even if he's there, I don't need him as a co-lead. I need him as supporting. I need him to feel like this assistant coach character, or like the other coach before he left. That's who I need the Ice Cube character to feel like.
You know, James, to be honest, what is hard for me is that I can't tell whose fault this kind of stuff is. Like, is it the most likely white people these creatives are pitching to, who are watering down the stories to like try to make it presentable for an audience? Or is it the creatives who are trying to get ahead of a note that they think they may get and water it down? Because to me, when Bray read the description of this girl, the fact that she was a linebacker, that's insane. Her pulling off the helmet, showing her locks. I'm like, this, her braids. This is
that's
all
something
insanity.
you would put in a movie, and you would think like, there's no way that really happened, and it's like it did. Yeah.
But again, to know that, I guess my question is, I can't tell when these things take a dive. Like, for instance, thinking about this movie, thinking about, you know, Hidden Figures. When does the decision get made to alter these stories in such a way that, particularly about Black women, the story loses the focus of them to placate an audience? And also, is it that people are assuming the audience doesn't want to watch these stories, or do we have a history of the audience not watching it when it is the focus? Like, if this movie was about this little Black girl, and again, Kiki Palmer wasn't famous yet, would this have worked? I think it could have, because you watch stories about little white girls all the time and they aren't famous, and then they become they become like this standout for doing this really good part. Like, how does this keep happening?
So I do think these are different things. Like, I think this is different than Hidden Figures, because I do think in when it comes to stories about racism, I do feel like white creators want the good white people in there because they want the white audiences to be like, that's me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But this is different, because they're not being like, oh, we want men to think of themselves. Like, I don't really think that's it. I think the case, like, now the star power stuff, sure. But I don't, like, it's not a, it makes sense that this movie has, like, these, all of these types of movies, the coach is usually like at the center of it, right? Like in some way or in some shape or form, there is the like you know, even in like Creed, because I would say like Creed is still about Michael B. Jordan's character. You have the Sylvester Stallone 100%. Character, right? Like, so it's like the Ice Cube character like makes sense and should be there, and it allows for people to watch it. I think I really am struggling to understand why they would make this little girl seem less cool than the real person, outside of maybe some thinking that like other little girls who would watch this movie would feel isolated if they don't feel like they're her. And so they wanted her to feel more feminine than she is. And now it's interesting because like, not that her sexuality, it has nothing to do with anything. And when she was doing this, she's an 11-year-old girl. So it really has nothing to do with anything. Now, typically, I would say a lot of times, like, especially now, it's like, yeah, there were like girls who have eventually came out as lesbian who like they like to play sports and stuff. And like, I wonder if that's a part of it. Like, I wonder if just like the fact that she maybe was bigger than some of the other boys when she was young, like when she was playing at the same age as them, because she, you know, maybe was bigger and stronger than some of them at that time. Like, is that a part of it? I don't know. It's this weird thing, because I feel like they made the movie less interesting. And it's like the movie's about this black girl who plays football anyway. Like, that's what the movie's about. So like, to make it less about that, it's like, it's still about that though. So you know what I mean? Like, if you don't want to make a movie about a little black girl who plays quarterback, then don't make that movie. Like, you can't escape it.
Like, just don't do it.
So like, I don't understand what watering it down helps, you know? Like, what are we doing?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm confused, because like, here, really, I went into this movie thinking one thing and I thought it was cute, but now, Bray, you've ruined it. Like I genuinely, I don't even know what to say. Like, I don't want to talk about this movie no more. Like, it sucks. Like, it does. It does.
No, it does.
Yeah, and like, and you asked earlier, Jarrah, like, what even was her arc? And like, at the end, you know, she
it's her father.
Rejects her father. And like realizes that her, because I feel like there's elements of her like not thinking that her mother understands her, or like feeling, you know, like kind of like not feeling a connection to her. So like when her mom is proud of her, even though they didn't win, she has that understanding that she has like this family that cares about her. But I don't know. I don't know if that's like a, like realizing that you have a family. I don't know how strong of a, you know, I don't know how strong of a case even the movie made for that, I guess, is more what I say.
I mean, we didn't see her longing, really. We heard everyone tell us that she was longing for her dad. Didn't see her. It wasn't like she was like looking at a photo. It wasn't like, you know, I know her mom mentioned the watch. I didn't even know she was wearing a watch until that line. You know what I mean?
I mean, this was horribly directed.
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean she's wearing a watch? What watch?
Well, let's just be real. It was
horribly directed.
No, I mean some offense. And here's the other. Apparently, Kiki Palmer in an interview with on Shannon Sharpe's podcast said that she was cast. But then when Fred Durst came in, he fired her. And then several months went by and then rehired her, because realized that the other person they brought in was, that's what. So it says here on Wikipedia that
I would love to know though who was cast.
What black girl was out at that time? Like, there's not even a true black girl in Kiki's age range that I'm like,
well, it wouldn't have been now. She wouldn't have necessarily been famous or anything.
I mean, now, because I'm like, I wonder, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, this actress was up for this and this and this.
Could have been somebody we never became famous.
That's true.
Okay.
That's
true. Here, listen to this other thing.
It would be interesting, though. I just want to say, though, it would be interesting if Fred hired somebody who was more like the Jasmine we've been talking about, you know.
Interesting.
And then I'm just interested in that. I would, you know, and then like the all of the kind of issues that came up for whatever led to the movie in being what it is, you know, all kind of come out in that period of time when it's not working with this other person. You know, I mean, I of course don't know, but that would be so interesting to find out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This article, the ESPN article says it all started with the game at the park and 23 stitches. In the spring of 2001, Cassandra Johnson, that's the mom, answered her door to find a stranger, a rather large teenage boy, holding her daughter in his arms. Jasmine, only 8 at the time, was bleeding severely from a cut on her knee. She wasn't crying.
Oh my God.
The mom freaked out. What happened to my baby? And then she hurt her leg tackling somebody. The frightened boy responded. Tackling who? Me, the boy said. The boy stood nearly 6 feet tall.
What a good story.
She was 8. She was 8.
Yeah, and she tackled him. The movie opening with this.
How does the movie not open with this?
Yo.
The movie opening with the knock on the door and everything, and there she is. And then we get a quick flashback to it as it's happening.
So good.
And then cut to black. The long shot. Are you kidding me?
She said, "I used to play with Barbies and stuff, but that just got too boring. The boys looked like they were having more fun. Where was this movie?
Hang on." And then the playing with the Barbies is played a little bit more like popcorny, like it's like her playing with the Barbies, but then she starts like tackling with the Barbie, like it's a little more. Can we do this?
We could make this movie so good. Like, this is insanity right now.
1 week after receiving 23 stitches on her knee, Jasmine was back playing football at the park. Her uncle noticed her tossing the pigskin with a tight spiral and quite a bit of velocity. After delicate negotiations with mom, he signed his niece up for Pop Warner, the national nonprofit youth football program with roughly 250,000 participants whose ages range from 5 to 16.
Also, for there to be that many players, do you know how big of a deal? Yeah. You know how big of a deal for them to get to the actual Super Bowl of that league? And to have a girl be the quarterback.
It was a very, the reason the movie is made is because it was an incredibly big deal.
But I just feel like, yeah, they try.
And they try to express that in the film, but I gotta say, I was confused every time it was on TV.
Correct,
like,
me too.
Every time it was on TV, I was like, why is it on TV?
Correct, because the way that this movie is shot made it seem like nobody was there. Nobody cared about, like, it just felt like it was just their school. Like, it was something happening on the bat. Like, it felt so small. And then when it was
everything about it.
Yeah. And when it was on TV, even then I was like, it wasn't clicking to me that it was like national I thought it was just like, you know, their local news, some local news station that was like talking about some small town.
Yeah.
You know,
it makes no sense. Literally. I want to review the movie.
Like, she's playing Barbies and there's like a girl she's playing with and the girl wants to play it a specific way.
Yeah, and then she's like tackling.
Like slamming. That's just so funny to me.
The whole movie should have been it.
If she gets made fun of by the other girls, it should be the fact that she's like, you know, like wearing, like she's dressing like a tomboy. Like, she's wearing long shorts and like the other girls
she
are like,
why football.
Are you, why do you look like that? You look like a boy. You know, and she's like, so what's wrong with, you know, like, and then she hits one of them, you know, and like punches them in the arm, right? Like, that's what it should have been. Hey, if you're going to make something up, it should have been, why not make up she tackles a girl into a freaking locker?
Hit the Lilo and Stitch, baby.
And causes a dent. And they're just like, damn, that girl can hit.
Causes a dent.
And to Gerard's point too, when she gets hit by the other person, like, okay, like the throwing the football in the nuts was cute, but like it did. The movie made it seem like that's all she could do was throw the football. I wanted to see her hit somebody, you know, like
I did too, bro.
Yeah, 100%.
Or like her like do something like, I don't know. I think I was just waiting for her to like, it's so hard, but I'm gonna be honest. This is one of the first times, and I feel like because now hearing Brady talk about it, you get the moment from Captain Marvel with like, it's that random montage at the end where all the girls like fall down and slow up in
best
slow motion.
Best part of the movie. I genuinely think about it every few months. Okay, sorry.
You said that's the best part of the movie?
I genuinely think about it every few months.
So I love that part. And that movie I think is really placed. But anyway, this movie I feel like has earned that. Like, especially based on the character or the real life person Bray's talking about. I imagine, again, now knowing that girl's, like, she plays doubles, I can picture her getting hit, getting up, shaking that shit off, and then throwing the ball at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, then she gets to do the thing, mm-hmm. you know? Like, and then she gets the line
yeah,
of, like...
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, and it, at some point you see, like, when she hasn't found a team she can't beat, and then she, like, at the final game or at the Super Bowl, there's, like, that one kid that's huge, and she's like, oh, boy... Like, how am I gonna tackle this kid, you know, like, or whatever,
or that dude just trying to play her. Like, it's like literally that dude is trying to play her because she's a girl. She gets hit because no matter what, you play football, you're gonna get hit.
Yeah, and maybe she gets like the 23 stitches that, like, if you didn't start the movie with it, like, why not have her get hurt and then her mom's like, she has to quit, and she's like, I don't want to quit, I want to play.
Exactly. Just to me, again, the Captain Marvel, I'm not trying to diss that, but she gets to do it, and it's like earned, and it's like, and it's a little black girl who gets to do it, and she gets to like stand up.
Man,
and
I'm so glad I read this article. Otherwise,
I'm upset.
When Tessa, I was watching this movie, and Tessa was like, is this based on a true story? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. And the reason I said I don't think so, other than just not knowing anything, was like, I was just like, I don't know. This feels so... like nothing's happening. Like, I was like, it feels like a true. I was like, I just thought a true story would be more interesting than this, and therefore, it would. You know what I mean? And the reality is, it is based on a true story, and the true story is more interesting than the movie. But they just decided to not use it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's quite a feat to take something that from real life and make it less interesting than it is. Like the real life story is. Like, there's not a single element to this movie that they fabricated that made the movie more interesting. It made it significantly less interesting.
Agreed.
I don't get it.
Yep.
It's jeez Louise. Goodness gracious. Who made this movie?
Fred Durst
directed it.
That wasn't what you were asking.
Written by Nick Santora. And who's this guy? Who's Nick Santora?
Don't matter. I don't know. Made a better movie.
Nothing. Okay. This is a TV series. Nothing that he's made is really jumping out to me. He's the creator of the new TV show Reacher.
Mm. All right.
Oh, all right. Okay.
He wrote an episode of The Sopranos. He wrote for Law and Order. He wrote for Prison Break. Okay, he's like a TV writer.
Did Alex Cross do well? Is that still on?
So it did do really well.
Well, that's great. I never saw it. I should watch it.
So basically, it came on last season. That's the show I shadowed on for 8 weeks. Yeah. It came on. It got a season 2 instantly. It's just that it took them, like, they're...
Guys, I think they're really in post. Long.
So it just takes a minute. Because I think they didn't know they were going to get a season 2 when the show ended, then the strike hit. So they could edit it, but they couldn't write it.
There's so many of those kinds of shows on Amazon. Can I just say, like, obviously Reacher is one of them. They have the Jack Ryan show. Yep. They've got like, now they have like three different new ones now. They have the Butterfly, Ballard.
Is that the Reacher spinoff? I know Reacher. The female lead off of Reacher has a spinoff.
I think that's Ballard.
That's Ballard. And then there's the guy.
Butterfly is Daniel. It's the dude. It's the Korean dude from Lost. He has his own kind of.
So now there's another
show.
One. There's another one, which is the guy who plays James. You know him from the CW.
Yeah, from Supernatural.
Supernatural.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I started watching that.
I started watching that too.
My friend just did a spot on
it. I can't remember what it's called either, but I started watching that too. Yep. It was like a Homeland Security kind of thing, right?
That one exists.
They have so many. And then, yeah, the Alex Cross show. I literally am like, I don't know where to start. Then also the Bosch show, that's a little bit older, but that has a bunch of seasons. I think it's called Bosch. You know what I'm talking about?
Bosch. Oh, yeah, that still exists, too. I think that has an issue.
They have so many shows. And I think they all do well. I think people are like, sure, I'll watch these cop procedurals that like have a bigger budget than you know, CBS.
But and they get to beat people up.
I get to see somebody get, you know, see their entrails pop out when they get shot and they're actually swearing. I love this.
And the same type of beats of the procedurals I know and love.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else we need to say about the long shots?
No.
I can't think of anything.
I mean, yeah. Whatever, man.
Exactly. Do we have to rate this?
I can't remember this actor's name, but I was excited to see him when he popped
Garrett Morris?
From, No, well, yes. Here's my thought about Garrett Morris. I can't rattle off all of the movies that he's in because he pops up in a lot of different things. But isn't he oftentimes like not like they gave him a line. He had like a funny line in this, but isn't he oftentimes not cast comedically? Does that ring true to you guys or no?
I can't think of too many things outside of Martin and
I don't know that many movies that he's in.
What do you call it? He was on, it was Jamie Foxx show, right? Jamie Foxx show?
He was, but he was in that comedically too. I only know him from comedies, to be honest.
Right. Okay. That's the thing I'm thinking about though. Like, it feels like the movies, they're not letting him be.
Apparently,
funny.
He was a cab driver in Ant-Man.
Okay, yeah, he was probably saying some quips in that. Okay, all
right,
maybe.
But
I'm
you're
wrong.
Right; he wasn't that comedic in this.
Right. Yeah, they give him that one line, and I was like,
I thought that was it was interesting for sure. Just thinking about him, his SNL days. All right. It's time for The Cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. It feels like it's fully helps the cause. We give it a black fist. Someone helped the cause. We give it a white palm. Doesn't really help the cause at all. We don't give it anything. On the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for the long shots.
Man.
One.
Man.
Two. Three. Three white palms.
Okay. I feel bad giving this a white palm because it is a... You know, like Kiki gets True Jackson right after this, you know, and so it's continued leading work for her.
Yes.
And so in a sense, like this is the cause, you know.
Right.
But the movie not doing well is one. But then two, like this way that we've been sort of talking about how the movie sort of changed, like it almost like tried not to tell an authentic story. It almost deliberately tried to not tell an authentic story. And that's the issue that I have. I like this not making any money.
Because I think it prevents other stories from being told that are similar.
Mm-hmm.
You do this one so poorly that people are like, see, nobody 100%. Likes that. And it's like, no, man, they would like it if you made it good.
They would like it. Make it. Make a good movie.
Make it good.
Like it.
Make it
Make it
good.
Real. Jesus. How do you fumble this? Talk about a fumble rooski.
Truly.
Should remake it.
Truly. They had gold.
Should remake it.
They had
Should
gold.
Remake it.
It's so annoying. Isn't that what you wanted to see most of the movie? Did you not want to see this little girl tackle somebody?
Yep.
Yes.
Didn't you want her? Like, she also, okay, the other thing about this article, they were saying that one of the coaches was saying she was the best all-around player. They were saying she could do everything. Like, she could run. Oh, wait. In one of the games, she threw for a touchdown and ran in another touchdown. Did we ever see her run in a touchdown in this movie?
Bro, Bray, I was just about to say, I wanted to see her at least scramble. Something.
We never saw her scramble. And she could. The real girl could scramble. Why?
I don't.
What did you do? Why did you make her less? I don't. How does a movie about somebody who's achieved an athletic feat make them less athletic than they are in real life? Like, how does that make any sense?
And you mentioned, you were like, you know, Kiki might not be able to play. And that might be true, but you could get a double.
Get a double.
You could get a double.
She's wearing a helmet.
To do all of the things she... Yeah, like it really is confusing.
Good point.
It's deeply confusing for that if that were the reason. That's confusing to me.
Like, how does she not juke and jump? Wow. I thought that's what was going to happen. I thought she was going to throw a pass and then, like, remember in I forgot what movie it is. I don't know, but they, like, somebody goes to tackle a quarterback and they duck and then they, like, spring up. And so that person goes flying and lands on their back. Like, I want to see something like that happen.
Absolutely.
She just trips them or whatever, or, like, she knocks them. I don't, come on. If you want to take liberties, do that. Make her do something even cooler that, like, captures the spirit of what she was doing, even if she didn't actually do it.
100%.
But you made her less cool.
I agree.
Anyway, thank you all for listening.
Anywho.
All right. Thank you all for listening. You could follow us at Black Men Podcast on Instagram and Threads. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have a Patreon and Red Circle where you get exclusive content. We do 2 episodes every month. We just, what did we just review? The Pickup on Amazon, the new Eddie Murphy movie with Pete Davidson. Very fun review, I thought. Let us know what you would like. It's only $5 a month. It's actually, honestly, too cheap. Patreon.
Wait, and Kiki. We just did, I'm sorry.
And Kiki Palmer, that's right. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Another Kiki Palmer movie.
We can't stop talking about these two.
I mean, it's pretty incredible. Like 18 years later, they're still...
still kicking.
What else do we got? You can follow me at John Braylock. I have a improv team called Dance Club Remix. So if you're in LA, come on out and see us. Also, I got something for y'all. It's finally announced. September 24th, which is a Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, The Floor premieres. It's a game show with Rob Lowe.
Yo.
And I will be on it. I will be a contestant on the game show The Floor. Comes out first episode September 24th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Check out your boy. Try to compete for some money.
Yash, yash, yash.
All right, what y'all got?
Honestly, that's fire. That's fire.
Very fun.
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc., ruleof3inc.com. Stitch is in stores now, in comic shops now. Number one came out last week at the time of this recording. Number two, I think, is out next week because number one was delayed. But it may not be next week. I may be lying. But pick it up. Connor Ratliff and I wrote the series, and it's ongoing through 8 issues. And it was a lot of fun to get to do. So please check it out. And the reviews are in. The reviews are pretty, you know, the reviews are pretty good. You know, it's cute. It's cute. It's cuddly. It's funny. Check it out.
We need more joy and cute and cuddly, James. I think we need that. So you know what?
That's it.
Bless your heart, because we definitely need it. You can follow me at Gerard Melligan on Twitter and Instagram. Tickets now are on sale for my New York Comedy Festival show, But Did You Die? That is Sunday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the UCB. Come out, because that theater has way more seats than I thought it did. So again, check those tickets out. Link in bio. That's But Did You Die for New York Comedy Fest, November 9th. That theater big, yo. That theater is big.
Fly out. How many seats is it?
Bro, it's 140.
Oh, you got 140. I thought when you said,
bro, 140?
You got 140.
They told me 140, plus there's like a bar that you can look off. They're like, sometimes people stand there. I was like, nigga, that's 150.
How many nights is it?
It's only one. It's only one.
Oh, you got 140?
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
You started promoting now. You'll be fine.
Don't do that.
I'm not saying you're gonna get 140. I'm saying you got 140.
I think you can get 140.
Man, I'm trying to get 150.
See?
I'm trying to get 150. Lord.
Black man cunt jumpers. Come on out.
Come on. Anyway.
All right.
But yeah.
We'll see y'all in 2 weeks. Peace.
Boys.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.